All right, it is 1:32 p.m. on April 28th, 2023. This is the time and date scheduled for a pre-hearing conference in Public Service Commission case number PU-22-391. This is also OAH file number 2023-0002. Appearing for our pre-hearing conference this afternoon are the following. On behalf of Summit is Tyler Glutt and Jeff Bilsack. On behalf of the Public Service Commission is Zach Pelham. On behalf of a group of interveners, our attorneys Jordy and Mr. Leibel. On behalf of the intervener, John Warford, is attorney Bakke. On behalf of the labor's union is Lucas Franco. And then also I have PSC staff member Victor Shook on the line as well. I scheduled this pre-hearing conference to discuss procedures and any preliminary issues regarding the upcoming Linton hearing on May 9th, 2023. This will be the fourth hearing scheduled for Summit's siting application for the Midwest Carbon Express CO2 pipeline project. So I think where I want to start is I just want to kind of go around and just get an idea of what the parties anticipate or are planning to present as far as witnesses or additional evidence at this hearing. So on behalf of Summit, Mr. Glutt, would that be directed towards you?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, if you want to go ahead, and I don't know if Summit's planning to call any additional witnesses or have other witnesses available or other evidence that it plans to cover at this next hearing.
Hey, thank you, Your Honor. As you mentioned, this is the fourth hearing. I think the details of the project are known. Accordingly, Summit does not intend to present any witnesses at this hearing. However, should the commission like to have any follow-up or ask questions of a company representative, Summit would be willing to make that representative available under the provision that the company witness would no longer be subject to any further cross-examination by any of the intervener counsels. As you may recall, I think Mr. Bender made the argument at the Wahpeton pre-hearing conference that that the interviewers have had their chance to conduct their cross-examination. Both Mr. Leibel and Mr. Jordy and Mr. Bakke. Accordingly, we think it's inappropriate to allow further cross-examination of our witnesses. And, you know, essentially this equivocates to, even though Summit hasn't made this request, I'm sure that if it did, it would be denied, but requiring every single one of the intervener witnesses to appear at each one of these, travel and appear at each one of these hearings. So it's just, I think further cross-examination is inappropriate. Company is willing to bring a representative to answer commission questions or commission staff questions, but that would be our intention for the Linton hearing.
Okay. And Mr. Glutt, just so I'm clear on Summit's position on this, you know, it's my understanding each of these hearings were set up, well, excluding the fifth hearing because that's kind of a different situation, but these first four were set up to talk about certain segments of the pipeline. And maybe it's not applicable, but if there's issues relevant to just this portion of the pipeline, is Summit's position the same as far as interveners' questions for Summit representatives?
Yeah, Summit is more than willing to give another broad overview of the project and identify any specific issues relative to the counties at issues in Linton, but that would be only if there was an order from you, Judge, that no further cross-examination could be conducted by the interveners.
And do you know, are there any issues specific to this portion of the pipeline, as in Summit's opinion, that haven't been addressed already at the other hearings?
I do not know that
okay.
Right now, Your Honor. I can certainly follow up with Summit to see if there are any specific issues, but I'm not aware of any at this time.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mr. Pelham, does the PSC plan on calling any witnesses for the Linton hearing?
Yeah, Your Honor, Judge. No, the PSC does not anticipate calling any witnesses. I would just comment briefly on Mr. Glutt's statements. You know, from the commission's perspective, the commission would ask that the company present a witness to outline the project generally and specific as to Emmons County. There's one other county which escapes me right now, which I should know, but as specific as to this particular hearing, and the commission would feel that's appropriate to do. I'll withhold the comments on the request of Mr. Glutt on behalf of his client as the cross-examination aspect, other than to say that I would think that for purposes of testimony specific to the counties in which this hearing is specified for, that would be appropriate questioning as to interveners asking questions on what would effectively be new information, new testimony, new evidence being presented as specific as to the counties in which we are focusing in on this particular hearing. Thank you.
And I'll just note, I just want to note, Mr. Glutt, I think that was you, Mr. Glutt, before you respond, that I have in my notice that this hearing is for the portion of the pipeline in Emmons, Logan, and McIntosh County. And just to clarify, Mr. Pelham, as far as what the commission is requesting, what Summit has done in the last two hearings, as far as, you know, a brief summary and addressing any section-specific issues, do you think something similar at this hearing is appropriate, or is that what you're requesting they do?
Judge, you summed it up a lot better than I did. That's what we would be requesting. Thank you.
Okay. And was that you, Mr. Glutt? Did you want to respond?
Yes, and I just wanted to note, Judge, that if we're going to head down this path and we only identify issues specific to the county, and I'm just going to throw an example. Let's say there was a pump station located in one of these counties, and we testified to the details of that pump station, that would not open the door to this wide and extensive cross-examination that we received at Wahpeton and Bismarck, at least.
Okay. All right. And I think, Mr. Glutt, it's my understanding that, you know, well, I agree. I don't think it's a good use of time to continue to go over the same material over and over. I know that, you know, these hearings were designed to be somewhat independent, so I think the commission is going to want a summary for the members of the public that come. It's for sure a tricky line to walk at this point. So, anyways, those are my thoughts. Okay, I think I'll go to Mr. Jordy or Mr. Leibel. On behalf of your clients, do you anticipate calling any witnesses? And if so, if you could give me an idea of how many?
Yeah, this is Brian Jordy. So, Your Honor, I guess, first of all, to respond to Mr. Glutt, we obviously object to any suggestion or certainly any order that may enter allowing Summit to not have to come to defend their application. They're the movement. They have the burden of proof. Landowners, interveners do not. And I guess if they think they've
already met that burden and they don't want to bring anyone, then I guess that's up to them. But it certainly seems appropriate that they need to have somebody there to defend the very topic of what we're all talking about, which is their application, and to be there for questioning. Obviously, if the exact questions have been asked and answered, that's an appropriate objection, and I don't think anyone wants to go over that again. But that's my comment on that piece. As to the upcoming hearing, it would be similar to Wahpeton. I mean, a handful, you know, maybe four or so, five possibly. So nothing major. Probably a little less time than what it took with the landowners on direct at Wahpeton would be my guess, Your Honor.
Okay. And as far as your first comment, Mr. Jordy, I just, you know, these hearings are long enough the way they are. I don't think it's an efficient use of time to repeat the same type of examination. Of Summit's witnesses, I guess, is what I'm referring to repeat the same type of questions that we've gone over in the last two hearings. And I just want to make it clear, and this is what I understood you say, that's, you agree with that, and that's not the intent on behalf of your clients, but if there's new questions to ask, that you have the latitude to ask those?
Well, I mean, like any trial, you don't want to ask the same question over and over again. Once you get an answer, it's time to move on. And I mean, I think any lawyer participating, whether they've been present at a prior hearing, probably needs to avail themselves to at least the subject matter, so we're not just doing the same thing. I don't think anyone wants to do that. I'm simply saying that to the suggestion that they didn't intend to have anyone there, I don't think that's at all appropriate. And it doesn't sound like Your Honor or the PSC staff are interested in that, which is good. I'm simply saying I think they need to have somebody that can be cross-examined on the application insofar as it's not a road we've already traveled down. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't want to put words in Mr. Glutt's mouth, but it was my understanding that they will have people there that are able to answer questions. So that's what I understood. Yep.
Your Honor, this is Mr. Glutt again. I just received word that the only new information that Summit would have to present in Linton would be a right-of-way progress, the same information county by county, and that would be it. And if that's the information we would request, I'll renew my thoughts that cross-examination should be limited to right-of-way status.
Okay.
Well, and Your Honor, then I have to respond to that. Again, they are the applicant, and the way this has been set up, that it's essentially a new hearing each time. Now, those aren't my rules. Apparently, that's how the PSC admin rules work. And so those have been the rules of the road, the rules of the game here, and they don't get to just show up on what they want to talk about. This is an opportunity for interveners to ask them questions on the pleading, which is the entire, you know, 1,000-page application. So again, I just for the record reiterate our request that they have someone there that can speak to their pleading in this case. Thank you.
And Your Honor, I'll just quickly respond to that. Mr. Jordy, Mr. Leibel, Mr. Bakke have all had that opportunity. What they're getting now is a few weeks in between each hearing to go back and collectively think about what they've missed and what they're going to do next. And I think out of a pure fairness standpoint, these hearings weren't set up to do that and to allow interveners, you know, to this extra time and come back and keep rehashing the issues, whether or not it's the exact question or not. This is exactly what's going on here. And obviously, I've told you, Summit is willing to get up, present the broad overview, give a right-of-way update, but I do not think that should open this up to this extensive cross-examination. I wish I could take Mr. Dory's word for it, but we've gone through two of these now, and I think we can expect that public testimony is not going to occur until late in the day again.
Well, Your Honor, I'm sorry, I just have to respond to that. I mean, whether it occurs late in the day or not, I mean, let's all do our jobs. And, you know, the fact that Mr. Leibel or I have appeared for other people has nothing to do with the interveners that are going to appear in Linton. They have their own case. This isn't a class action. They have their own case. They can ask their own questions through the counsel that they've hired. So, again, this suggestion that basically they want to hide and only put out information they want when they are the applicants, they should be subject to cross-examination. We got to test the application, and that's all fair game. And they knew that when they got started in this process.
I would object that we're hiding anything, Your Honor. That's an unfair characterization of what we're trying to accomplish here. We're trying to make this hearing as efficient as possible so that public testimony can occur at a reasonable time of the day and the public is not sitting at this hearing for hours on end waiting to appear. Because in reality, Summit filed its application last fall. It's been public knowledge since then. We've made our case several times now. We are not hiding anything, and, you know, at this point, you know, I think a comment was made prior by Mr. Doherty that this is the Public Service Commission, and the point is to run an efficient hearing, get the public up so the commission can hear the public's concern, and so someone can hear the public's concern and respond appropriately.
Well, okay, so this is my understanding. I think when the PSC determined that it was going to hold four separate hearings for this application, which is something it's done on other projects of similar scale. When they decided those parameters, we didn't have interveners at the time. So, you know, I don't know that. I think it became more complicated once we had intervener parties, especially with like Mr. Jordy and Mr. Leibel's group, because they represent so many landowners along, you know, different counties within this project. So I think from my standpoint, I agree that I don't think it's a sufficient or a good use of time to continue to go over the same issues that we've had questioning and we've heard testimony on in Bismarck and Gwinner and Wahpeton. Whether or not there's new stuff, and it's sometimes it's hard to talk about this stuff in abstract because, you know, we're talking about new testimony that we've heard versus new, well, you know, what is that? I don't know. So I think there is a line there, and so, you know, I would just ask all the parties to, if we've gone through it, if we've heard testimony on these issues, we need to move on, because I think at this point the most important information for the PSC is to hear from the landowners and the public on this project. So that's kind of where I'm at, and I guess the direction I can give at this point. Mr. Bakke, can you tell me how many, I know you're planning to appear, and I think you mentioned in your email that you had at least one witness or one client that was, or witness, I think, because you only have one client, that was planning to testify in Linton, but can you tell me, give me more information on where you're at?
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor. Yeah, I will have at least one witness, perhaps two, and just kind of responding to the issues that have been raised so far, I'm kind of looking at this, you know, globally in regards to the entire PSC process, which I understand is, you know, it's the burden of Summit to establish that this pipeline is a benefit to the citizens of North Dakota, that there aren't, public health issues of significant concern, so the PSC can analyze those issues not in a vacuum based on a single hearing, but on all four hearings. And I think it goes without saying that these are all, you know, very important hearings. It's not my intention to rehash areas of evidence that have been presented before,
However, this process is a process where in advance we don't get to see, you know, what the evidence is from Summit. We don't get a chance to take depositions of their witnesses. And there are certain areas of testimony and evidence presented by Summit that since the initial hearing in Bismarck, where they said they didn't have information, where we have subsequently learned about other information that seems to contradict what they've presented to the PSC. Similarly, there are other areas where some of the testimony provided we believe to be inaccurate, and we would intend to present that. You know, they say, well, we shouldn't be allowed to cross-examine. That would be patently unfair because, you know, our witnesses are going to go last. Our witnesses are not going to be heard until at least one during this hearing in Linton. You know, the court will recall we didn't get a chance due to time constraints, and I'm not blaming anyone. I mean, I know my cross-examination was of Summit's witnesses was extensive, and so I'm not blaming Summit. I took my time as I felt was necessary to question their witnesses. However, I didn't get to present any of my witnesses, so what Mr. Glutt is requesting is to have the advantage of going through all these hearings and waiting until our witnesses are presented in Bismarck and one or two in Linton, and then he gets full opportunity to cross-examine them on the same issues that have arisen perhaps in a number of these hearings, but yet we don't get a level playing field. That's not right. If he's going to get a chance to cross-examine our witnesses in Bismarck and Linton, we should have full opportunity to cross-examine Summit witnesses. And the other thing I'll say is it sounds to me like Summit has essentially is telling the court they're throwing in the towel, at least as to the propriety of the Summit route in Logan and Emmons County at the Linton hearing, and are not going to try to establish it's an appropriate route. That's their burden of proof to establish, as well as on the other issues in those counties at the Linton hearing, but it sounds to me they are just giving up on that and don't intend to present evidence to the PSC as to why their route is appropriate, how it's safe, how it's to the benefit of the citizens in those counties, and these other issues that are very much at play in this case. But I think Mr. Jordy's correct on that. They're going to fail in their burden of proof. I know these hearings are long. They're important issues. They're important issues to the public. So I think everything has to be, you know, fair game for the PSC to consider all of the evidence on the issues where they have the burden of proof. But like I say, I don't intend to rehash the same things I did before, but to the extent there's additional information that's become available or contradictory information from what Summit testified to or the evidence they presented, or areas, as the court will recall, where they said, well, we don't have an answer to those questions. If we now have information that provides the answers to those questions, we should have full opportunity to present that evidence to the PSC for their consideration.
Mr. Bakke, can you give me more information about the witnesses you intend to call? Like, who are the witnesses? I just need the nature of the type of witnesses, because it's my understanding you only have one client, correct?
I have one client, yeah. It's going to deal with the safety issues in relation to the pipeline.
Zach here. That we'd like to know who the witnesses are going to be so that everyone can be prepared. We know who the company witness is going to be, Mr. Powell. We know the intervener witnesses are going to be those people indicated from Emmons and Logan and McIntosh County. I do think that the purpose of this meeting here is to know who the witnesses are. So I would ask that Mr. Bakke answer your question.
Can you tell us who your witnesses are, Mr. Bakke?
Yeah, I don't have a problem so long as Summit discloses that as well, because I understood them to say they're calling someone, but we don't know who this is.
Yeah, that's fine. I can ask Mr. Glutt that too, but let's finish with yours first.
Sure. Yeah, I intend to call Jerry Brakes.
And who is Mr. Brakes? Is he an expert witness, or, I mean?
Fact and expert, yeah.
Okay. Do you have a second one? You said one or two.
Yeah, it was kind of going to depend on which witnesses they presented. I mean, right now, I know the one for sure, but, you know, it's hard for me to say depending on what they present.
Okay.
But that's all for sure.
All right. And Mr. Glutt, is Summit going to call Mr. Powell again to go through the right-of-way and summarize the project?
Yes, that is our intent, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Okay. With that, again, I know this is an unusual format, but I'll just reiterate that, you know, in the interest of time, and again, it's, you know, we don't know how many members of the public are going to be there that want to testify. So, you know, once we get there and I have a better idea of that, you know, we can estimate how long public testimony is going to be, but, other than Gwinner, every single one of these, you know, we've used it's been long days and we've used a lot of time. So, like I said before, and I just want to reiterate, I think from the Public Service Commission's perspective at this point, testimony from the landowners and the public is what's going to be most beneficial for the Public Service Commission. And rehashing, you know, I get what the interveners are saying, and I know you have to build your records too, and this is all a balancing act, but, you know, I would really ask that you limit questioning on issues that have been addressed at other hearings that apply to this pipeline globally. And I guess, you know, I'm not really sure how much more we can do, you know, other than, you know, we have an idea of who's going to be testifying as far as the parties to this case and getting some general idea of what's going to be allowable for testimony. I think that's about all we can decide at this point. I'll just go around and ask if there's other issues we need to discuss today. Mr. Glutt, do you have any?
Yes, sir. I don't know if it'd be appropriate at this time, but it may be considering what Summit is going to have in mind for the final hearing in Bismarck. It's our understanding that Mr. Bakke has four or five witnesses that he will be calling. Summit probably has about the same number of witnesses he would intend to call on a rebuttal case. With direct and cross-examination of each of those witnesses and trying to squeeze in additional public testimony, Summit doesn't believe that it is possible to get through that hearing in one day. So accordingly, we would request that the commission consider the concept of submitting each party, i.e. interviewers submitting written direct testimony and Summit submitting written direct testimony of its rebuttal witnesses. Those written testimonies will both be due on the same day. Each party gets an opportunity to review and submit written responses. And the commission will have time to review those. All witnesses that submitted direct testimony will be available at the hearing for questions by commission and commission staff. But there will be, that will be the extent of the witness questioning at Bismarck. I think this process will allow, it's really the only feasible way of getting through the last Bismarck hearing and allowing time for public testimony.
Okay. Yeah, and I do plan on holding a pre-hearing conference before that hearing as well, because I think that one, as far as what needs to happen on that day and time constraints, et cetera, is going to be the most challenging. And hopefully we can do that sooner rather than later so that there's time to plan for that last day. Continuing on, Mr. Pelham, thoughts on pre-filed testimony and setting deadlines for that, and any other issues you wanted to address this afternoon?
Thank you, Judge. As far as pre-filed testimony, it's been done by the commission in the past to lead to more efficiency in terms of witnesses. I think from my perspective, as counsel for the commission, we need to be sure that we can accomplish the hearing in Bismarck specifically. I know we're talking about Linton here, but it was brought up in Bismarck within the time frame that we have. And I think that is practical consideration. And perhaps what we can do after this call is perhaps the attorneys for all involved here can get together and try to develop some type of plan in advance of Bismarck that hopefully we can all agree on, whether it's some pre-filed testimony as plan that Mr. Glut has explained or some variation of that. I think it's going to have to be something. And I think it would be appropriate for the parties to do that. As far as the information, the testimony, the evidence being presented, noted by Mr. Bakke that there's no opportunity for depositions and discovery. There is opportunity for interveners to conduct discovery under the rules. So I just want to be clear on the record that interveners have the opportunity to conduct discovery, but it's their choice to ask for it, and it hasn't been done in this case. So there has been discovery on cases in the past. It's not been done here. So this is not a unique situation or hearing in which discovery does not take place or takes place. It just hasn't been done here. So I just want to be clear on the record from the Commission's rules, the Administrative Code, and the Administrative Agencies Practices Act both allow discovery, as everyone knows on this call. It's just simply not been done. So in terms of this hearing, it appears that we're ready to go and have the witnesses, and just look forward to having a good hearing. But in terms of the Bismarck hearing, I do think that it would be appropriate for the attorneys to get on a call or exchange some emails as far as thoughts on how best to efficiently present what needs to be presented so that the commission, the three commissioners, I guess one non-commissioner who's a substitute decision maker, can make a decision. I'd also remind everyone, too, that we have post-hearing briefing on these cases, and everyone's going to... There's no page limit on post-hearing briefing. There's no limitation on what exhibits can be cited to, and all of that can be presented after the last hearing. And you, ALJ Hogan, know that you're going to set a time for the company to present and likely interveners to respond, and perhaps even some rebuttal as to those post-hearing briefs. So thank you.
Okay. Mr. Jordy?
Yes, thank you. I make a motion on behalf of all interveners that we be allowed to conduct discovery, both written and depositions. I'd like to take the deposition of Jim Paroli and Mr. Blank for Summit. And so if we could get a ruling on that ASAP, I'd appreciate it. In terms of Bismarck, I think we've got a real problem there because Summit just highlighted that they don't think there's going to be enough time. And so then there's not enough time,
and then there's not an opportunity to extend this into a second day, then who are the winners and losers? You know, Mr. Bakke has a case he wants to put on, and that's fair for him to do that. Are his four or five witnesses then Summit's rebuttal? Is that going to squeeze out the time? Because we've got people that, you know, are interveners that have just as much right to come and testify. So are we picking winners and losers in terms of who can give testimony? As to the written testimony comment, sure, that's a concept, but we have the due process right to be heard orally via question and answer. And so we don't have to stipulate our consent to that process. And so I think there's a real problem. I also make a motion that the hearing be continued or set aside a second day so that everyone can be heard in terms of all interveners. If you're going to cut off the public and they chose not to intervene, I guess that's one thing. But in terms of not having enough time for the interveners to testify, I just don't see possibly how that works. And I think that brings up some significant appeal issues that could be catastrophic to Summit. So those are my thoughts there, Your Honor.
In response to some of that, Mr. Jordy, your motions, if you could file something in writing for me, I'd appreciate that. I think it's, since this is just a pre-hearing conference, having something for the record, I think would be good. As far as I know, the commission is not in favor of scheduling more time for this hearing, so I think we have what we have. I can tell you, I haven't decided anything yet, but in thinking about, from what I've heard from everybody and thinking about that Bismarck hearing, I have similar concerns about the amount of time all the parties are going to want and the amount of time we're going to have. So when I like Mr. Pelham's idea about the parties getting together and trying to figure out some of that and potentially filing pre-filed testimony is something the commission normally and regularly does, especially in cases like this that they know are going to be lengthy. So that's a common practice with the commission, and I think it helps. It makes the testimony or information we need to get through with testimony less. As far as the Bismarck hearing, I think that we're going to have to set some guardrails and time limits on how much time every party is going to get to present its testimony or cases that day. I just don't think going into that hearing without a plan or without time limits for the various parties is a good idea, because it's just going to create a mess. And if we know that that's the amount of time we have, it makes sense to think about it in that way. So, you know, I'm open to other ideas, but that's something I'd like the parties to discuss and talk about when you hopefully get together and discuss some of these issues. And with that, Mr. Bakke, any thoughts or anything you want to put on the record?
Sure. Just very quickly, Your Honor, I will be filing an objection, I think on Monday or Tuesday, that Summit's application to protect information, and so I'll get that to the court, like I said, Monday or Tuesday at the latest. In relation to Mr. Pelham's comments about discovery, and this is my fault for not always keeping him in the loop, I have been trying to obtain discovery directly to Mr. Bender, one of the attorneys for Summit, and have been wholly unsuccessful in that regard, despite assurances they consider our requests. So I don't disagree with Mr. Jordy's request for depositions, but I did try to accomplish that through Mr. Bender and was unsuccessful. In regards to pre-filed testimony, written testimony, I understand that has been used in the past. I mean, on behalf of my client, we would strenuously request or object to that. The biggest part of the reason being that the PSC needs to assess the credibility
of these witnesses may have questions themselves for the witnesses, which is best done in an oral format. And a big factor as well is the cost issue. Of course, we know, you know, Summit has $5.5 billion, so they have tons of money to fight the interveners here. I represent one individual, and this is a significant financial commitment and cost to him. And if he were to have us do pre-filed testimony, that would be tremendously expensive and inefficient. And I just don't think that would be fair to the interveners to approach it that way. We are bringing in the one witness in Linton. That should help expedite things. I don't disagree that we probably need a second day, but I keep getting back to how important this case is to the citizens of North Dakota. I mean, I know there's been other bigger issues and projects presented to the PSC before, but this has to rank right up there. And so if it means, you know, the PSC has to consider another day of hearing, I know it's difficult on everyone's schedule, but I think it's just that important. So that's my 2 cents worth.
Thank you. And I didn't mean to ignore you, Mr. Franco. I just kind of assumed in my head that the labor union had presented its witnesses and weren't going to present any further witnesses, but maybe I should ask or have you confirm one way or the other if I was right about that.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. Not a problem. Our intention was to call a single witness for a relatively limited amount of time, 15 to 20 minutes at most. So that was our plan, and that's what ideally we would like to pursue, and that witness would be Evan Whiteford.
And that's for the Linton hearing, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Go
ahead.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Just to a second point, we would be comfortable and have done this many times before with the pre-filed testimony.
Okay. Yeah, and just, you know, for, you know, our interveners, I don't know how familiar you guys are with the commission process and hearing process, but almost every hearing I do for the commission, they have pre-filed testimony, and you know those witnesses are then available for cross-examination. But the whole purpose of that pre-filed testimony is to address the issue we have here. We've got a limited amount of time for hearing and lots of information to get through, so that's the whole purpose of pre-filing it, so that, you know, the commissioners can read, everybody can read through that testimony, and that we don't have to go through everything the day of the hearing. So, again, I'll just emphasize that that's something that's routinely done. The commission is comfortable with that format, and that the whole purpose of that is to address time issues at the hearing. Mr. Shook, I just wanted to confirm that the commission is not planning on scheduling a 6th hearing date, correct?
Yes, Judge, that is correct.
Okay. So with that in mind, we have what we have. So I know the interveners want more time. They want another day. Ideally, that'd be great, but this is where we're at. We have 2 hearing dates left, and we have to find a way to make it work. So I hope and strongly suggest the parties get together and talk about, I'm talking more for Bismarck than Linton, but I hope you guys get together and try to come up with a plan of how to manage that day. If it's pre-filed testimony, if we're setting time limits for the parties, whatever. Because like I said before, I think a game plan is needed for that hearing day. Okay, one other thing I wanted to ask about, since I have everybody on the phone, I think Mr. Jordy or Mr. Leibel, I think I saw this morning another petition to intervene was filed this morning. I don't have it right in front of me, but it's another landowner. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and I'll just ask if there's any objection to that petition to intervene. If there isn't any, I'll just go ahead and get an order out granting that. All right, hearing none, then I will... go ahead.
This is Mr. Gluck. I mean, I haven't seen the petition to intervene either, but it's difficult to know. If it's just another landowner, I suspect we won't have any objections, but is there a way to get that posted so we can at least see the petition?
Oh, sure. Yep. I will, I don't know if I'll get it done this afternoon. Maybe I'm heading out of the office after this, but maybe I can get an email out tomorrow. Well, let's do this. Mr. Glutt, would close of business on Monday be a sufficient deadline to file any objections?
That's more than enough time, assuming that we'd have an opportunity sometime for them to see the petition. Like I said, if it's a landowner, I don't suspect any objections, but I can't just waive any right to object without having seen it. So Monday, close business Monday, will be more than sufficient time, and we appreciate it, Your Honor.
Sure, yep, that's understandable. I didn't know you hadn't seen it yet. So, okay, so I'll set a deadline of close of business May 1st. If anybody does object, please file something by that time. And I'll just note, anything that's filed, especially these things that are more time-sensitive, it needs to be filed with the commission so it gets on the docket, but if you could include me on those as well, because, well, the commission's normally pretty good about getting stuff to me, especially when we have these short time periods to address some of this stuff, it's easier if it's sent directly to me so I can see it right away. All right. Anything else we need to address this afternoon?
Nothing further from Summit, Your Honor.
All right. Well, hearing nothing else, I'll note for the record that it's 2:18 p.m. That will conclude our pre-hearing conference for this afternoon. Thank you all for calling in, and I hope everybody has a nice weekend.
You as well. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.